Somebody must have got a hold of it. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Thank you all for joining us on this beautiful and blustery day as we gather to praise God. Thank you all for coming. A few announcements before we get started. Don't forget, after worship, we have our town hall to discuss the gift that we have been given by the Denzer Foundation. So if you can stay there for that, that would be appreciated. We also have cake for birthday and anniversary Sunday. So food to enjoy and a brief discussion about the gift that we have been given. Please don't forget our ecumenical Ash Wednesday service. This year will be on March 6th at Otterbein United Methodist at 6:30. The combined choir is invited to practice the Wednesday before at Otterbein at 7, or they can join the day of. A reminder that the elders will be meeting on Monday night at 7. OMMC is meeting Tuesday night, and then Spiritual Companioning is meeting Wednesday night. They'll share a meal from 6:30 to 7. That's optional, and you're welcome to join us for our actual companioning session from 7 to 8. Please don't forget, Bears and Cares continues to grow. We're up to 79, right?
Give or
take a few bears. And did you want to say anything at all? Do you want me to? You're good. No, you're fine. But we said that we could extend it another week since we're still waiting to hear where we'll drop them off. So you got another week to bring them in. We'll also set up a free will donation by the end of next week for people if they want to donate for some of the purchases that we've been making. But I'm hoping that we can get the 100 mark. And you can see we got some big ones in there too, so maybe we should count them double. But just great to see how many people have stepped up and supported that. Please don't forget, usher and greeter lists are available for March and April. We need people to sign up for that so we can get that in the newsletter. So if you could sign up, that would be great. Also, Emily has graciously volunteered to take our orders for our Park Street Pizza fundraiser, which is for our Convo kids. Thanks to all of you who came to Texas Roadhouse last Thursday night to support the Dine to Donate. I saw so many Moravians there. The parking lot was full. Just great to see so many people support that. Our next fundraiser is we are going to sell Park Street Pizza, which I know everybody loves that pizza, and we are going to make it here. It's a pizza you can make and take home. Take and bake. You can take it and bake it at home. We'll do that on March 23rd, but we need to get order forms and money in by March 14th so we can let Rocky know at Park Street Pizza how many pizzas we need to put together. So if you could support that cause. Thank you. This is why I have you speak for me. You can get to the floor. Does anybody else have any other announcements to share? Yeah, Amy. All right. Thank you, Amy. Does anybody else have any other announcements? All right, before we greet one another, we're going to do our February birthdays and anniversaries. So our anniversaries and birthdays to celebrate this month. We celebrate Joe and Martha Dalcoma, who celebrated their anniversary on the 21st. Paige Martin, who celebrated her birthday on the 2nd. Ron Regula, who celebrated his birthday on the 8th. Jill Schaefer on the 18th. Alex Nisley on the 20th. Paula Drum on the 21st, who got a nice Texas Roadhouse greeting. On the 25th, Jenny Shoup, and on the 26th, Delene Swinderman. I ask our birthday and anniversary people to please rise, and then we'll sing the birthday hymn for them. So if you have a birthday or anniversary in February, you can stand. Let's see it all, Paige. Let us join together and sing. Bless them all, we humbly pray. Dear Heavenly Father, love and favor, every day. Spirit now in each proceeding, stir them with His most gracious leading. Thus shall they be truly blessed. Let us stand and greet one another. Peace, Danielle. Peace, Angie. Oh, yeah. We'll pick them up. Morning, Carolyn. Morning, Jeff. Morning, Billy. Morning, Mr. Carter. Morning, Doug. Morning, Ron. Morning, Becky. Morning, Marianne. Morning, Amy. Morning, Katie. Morning, Allie.
Hi.
So you may remain standing as we join together in the watchword of the week. And our watchword this week comes from Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 36. Jesus said, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." You may be seated.
Do you want to do the call to worship? No, you're good. You're good. We're going to sing. But then after that, just everybody stand.
Thank you.
stand. Trust in the Lord and do good.
We will dwell in the holy land and enjoy the security of the Lord.
Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the earth.
Almighty God, enthroned above all, you alone are God over the nations of the earth. Even the planets, the stars, and the galaxies are placed by your hand.
Where could we go from your spirit? Where could we flee from your presence? If we go up to the heavens, you are there. If we go down into the caves of the earth or the depths of the sea, you are there.
God of all creation, we sing praises to your name. We stand jubilant before your glory, power, and beauty.
God of certainty, God of truth, our confidence is in you and in you alone.
Yet we live in a fallen world. We are an imperfect people.
Our world is filled with pain and alienation.
We know of illness when body or mind is failing, and the loneliness of spirit it brings.
We know of separation from parent or child, from friend or neighbor, and the emptiness of life it brings.
We know of strangeness in new communities, and in changing communities, and belonging it brings.
We know of alienation caused by unemployment or poverty or discrimination, and the pain it brings.
We have become strangers to our relatives and foreigners to our families.
How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Let our cry for help come to you.
I am a God nearby, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? I am the Lord your God. I have called you out from the peoples, and you shall be holy to me.
We declare your praise, the one who we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to you.
Bring your grace to us.
You may be seated.
Yeah, I didn't.
Gracious God,
we humbly confess that we walk in the way of the indifferent, who depend on their strength alone. We sit among the scornful, who deny the need for your guidance and power. Our hearts are not satisfied with riches, vulnerable to moth and rust and thief. Yet we jealously store up those very treasures. Set our minds on things unseen and eternal, that our emptiness within may be filled. We humbly confess that we fail to welcome a stranger among us. We pass by a neighbor who is hungry and thirsty, naked, sick, and in prison. We sing of your healing power and your unconditional love, but we fail to make our sanctuaries true havens for suffering and the exile. Give us the will to be ambassadors for our Savior and faithful stewards of the ministry of reconciliation entrusted to us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Amen.
Without Christ, we were strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, we who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He is our peace.
We are no longer strangers and aliens, but citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, with Christ himself as the cornerstone.
Therefore, let us affirm our faith in the triune of God. Please stand.
Please rise.
We believe in one God, who has created the land and the seas and heaven and all that is in them, who established the world out of good, who gives to us the task of watchful and responsible care over it, who is serpentine and true. We believe in the one God, who in Jesus Christ assumed our humanity, came to our life as child, youth, and adult, who dined with sinners and lived with the homeless, who confronted popular opinion and power, who remained obedient in temptation and suffering, who triumphed over serpent's death and resurrection. We believe in the one God, who comes to us as comforter and advocate, who does not leave us as orphans, who brings peace and calms the troubled hearts, who bestows gifts for serving, healing, showing compassion, and doing miracles, who alone is the power and the wisdom of our proclamation.
Let us in faith keep our eyes fixed on the promises of God. Through we see him and greet him from a distance.
We confess that we are strangers and foreigners on the earth, a people who are seeking our true home.
We desire a better place, that is, a heavenly one. Indeed, God has prepared a city for us.
Let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us.
Thank you.
As we turn our hearts and our minds to our offering today, we will hear words from Christ soon about his Sermon on the Plain. And in this message, he asks us to extend our benevolence, because anybody can give to somebody who can pay them back. But a true person of faith gives to those who have no capability of giving them back, that gives out a compassionate and merciful place. So let us give compassionately to a God who we can never pay back for all the wonderful things he does for us. Let us pray together. Dear Jesus, help us to give compassionately and put the results in your steady hand. For we know that we can provide a hand up, but it is you, God, who lays out the path for each one of us. Help us to walk our own steps faithfully and joyfully. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to our prayer concerns this week. The first concern I have to share with you is a joy for Vicki Eichel and her family. She remains hospitalized at Akron Hospital, but they're working on getting her this weekend from the ICU back to the normal floor. The latest on Vicki is that on Thursday night they found that she had a perforated gallbladder, and this is what causing her to have such a difficult time, and now that they've found this, she has had made remarkable improvements. From what I saw on Thursday to what I saw on Saturday was truly a blessing. She is already back to rolling her eyes and letting her daughters know who was in charge. So, just wonderful to see, and we continue to pray for her steady recovery. In fact, our Sunday school kids did a wonderful job of putting this together in class, and I'm going to put this I'm not going to pass it out during worship, but I'm going to ask you to sign it. I'll put it back on the table as we're all walking out and getting ready to head to town hall. And then we'll pass this off to either Katie and Allie, and you can give this to Grandma because we know how much she likes cards and letters from people. But let her know that we're all behind her. We continue to pray for Jim Eichel as well, who would be Jean Ann Baker's brother. He was hospitalized about a week ago at Union Hospital, was there for 5 or 6 days, still really haven't figured out what's wrong, but he's home, and so we're praying that he's at peace and whatever's been bothering him is going away. For Lynn Capretta, continuing to face some health issues, finally getting to the point where she can be looking at surgery down the road for the issues that she's been having, so we continue to pray for her. For Janie Martin, we continue to uplift her in prayer. She continues to adjust to her prosthetic and all the challenges and blessings that come with that as well. We pray for our brothers and sisters in the United Methodist Church. They're having a conference this week, a very important conference. We pray for peace in their church and love for people on all sides of all issues. And we remember that even though some issues divide us, God is on all of our sides, and that there are no big lines between any of us. I did not get the prayer book this week, so hopefully there weren't any additional concerns, but if not, yeah, Ron.
Donnie Harry.
Darlene?
Donnie Harry.
Okay, what's going on with Donnie? Okay, we'll lift them in prayer as they had a stroke. Did anybody else have any other prayer concerns? Audrey? Absolutely. We'll have an echocardiogram. Okay. I can understand that. We can pray for test results. I can't promise batting averages or anything, but. Did anybody else? Yeah, Amy.
Lucas Fouts.
Lucas Fouts, okay. Ooh. It'll definitely keep Lucas in prayer as he struggles with those. Does anybody else have any other prayer concerns? Jackie?
I have a joy. I've been not been here this month, but because I've been visiting some other churches, I just want to say how wonderful it is to be back here and hear everybody singing, because other churches don't sing like
you. So keep singing. I love it. Absolutely. That brings up another prayer concern for us. Keep praying for our leaders of our church, our Northern Province, our Eastern District leaders, especially those in Ohio. Still got 3 openings. Keep those churches in prayer. You never know who God's going to put in that spot. And we're excited to see what the future holds for Ohio. Oh, my mother-in-law. Let's put them in prayer. My mother-in-law and my sister-in-law. Somebody gave me a good reminder with the glaring eye contact over there. But they just moved into a new house with Emily's grandmother. Emily's grandmother found a place for all of them to live in Pennsylvania, and so they spent their first night in this house, and we're excited for the transitions that bring and also for some of the difficulties that come with that. But it's been amazing to see how everybody's been rallying around one another. Does anybody else have any other prayer concerns? All right, let's take a moment in silence so your pastor can mosey on back. Good and gracious God, we come before you today and we listen to the strong wind that is outside. And we remember, we listen to it as a symbol that you are a powerful God that can renew us and that can strengthen us. We pray for all those who will be impacted by the weather, for those dealing with power outages and other difficult circumstances, for those who are first responders in situations like that. We ask that you keep everyone safe and protected. Gracious God, today is a day of joy also. We celebrate with Vicky, who continues on her recovery process, with Jim, Lynn, and Janie, and so many that we heard in our prayer concerns among us. And we are so grateful that your healing presence was working beneath the surface before even any of us saw that. And whenever we get scared, whenever we get lonely, whenever we get doubtful, help us to remember that, that you are planting seeds that we may not see at the moment, but they can sprout as beautiful and large as any miracle that you've ever given us. And we ask that you protect those who are going through difficult times right now, to uplift them and strengthen them. And we think about our world. Help each one of us be your hands and feet, especially when we hear your message today, to love our enemies. Because we know it's easy to love our friends and those close to us. But you ask us to stretch ourselves and show that your compassion can reach anyone, even those who try to do us harm. And help us to remember that love is strength, not weakness. Hatred is weakness. So let us strengthen and love, and most importantly, uplift in song all the beautiful and wonderful things that God does for us. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen.
This is from Genesis 45, 3 through 15. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. It is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, was it not you who sent me here, but God? He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you and your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded to me in Egypt and about everything that you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him."
Thank you, Danielle. Our gospel today comes from the 6th chapter of Luke, verses 27 to 38, from the Sermon on the Plain, Love for Enemies. But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. If anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend. Expect nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over you, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. May the reading of God's holy word reach your hearts, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for the children's chat. If they have any objects they want to bring up, they're welcome to do that. If not, we can have them maybe pick out some stuffed animals. If they haven't, they can bring them down. If Daniel's okay with that, they can borrow a stuffed animal for a little bit. In a plastic bag, okay. Oh, boy. We came prepared today, huh? They can can in my Boy Scout. Wow. Becky, you let him pick this out. Oh, goodness gracious. Be working overtime today. So how's everybody doing today? Good? Did you have a good week at school? You brought Evie again? That's cool. So for those of you who doesn't have a toy or stuffed animal right now, why don't you go ahead and grab one of the stuffed animals from the ledge, but make sure it's wrapped in paper. We don't want to get any of our germs on any of the toys that we're giving the kids. But yeah, go ahead and pick any of the ones that are wrapped in. Go with the beagle. That's one of my favorite animals. Brandon, you want to go with the wolf? We're going to go with the puppy. We go with the puppy? Okay. So I want you to picture, let's say we're at an awesome pool party, and we're hanging out in the middle here. What I want you to do is I want you to create two different teams. Just do it any random way, but I want you to put your stuffed animal on this side and another stuffed animal on this side. Let's see. Let's see if you think your stuffed animal would be a superhero. If you think your stuffed animal would be a better villain, put them on this side. There's a superhero, so put your superheroes over here.
What if Pokemon?
That's up to you. You got to pick, Rod. Boys, where do you want to put yours? Does anybody have any villains? How about we need some villains? Brandon, you want to be a villain for me? You can do a good job of that, right? Okay. Okay. So, I want you to pretend these two teams have a fierce rivalry and they hate each other, right? Okay, you guys know like how rivalries can be. Who here's from New Philly? Let's see it. Who's here from New Philly? Who's from Dover in here? We have a few Dover people willing to raise their hand. And so you live in one of the fiercest rivalries in a community where if you know New Philly and Dover play each other, you know it's going to be intense. So I want you to pretend that the superheroes are from New Philly. That's not a theological point on my end, and let's pretend the bad guys are from Dover. So what would be the best qualities about the superheroes? What could the superheroes do together with the stuffed animals that you have right there? Wynn, what could your lady do? What could one of the Incredibles do? She could stretch. She could be strong. She could do things. What else do you have? What could Evie do?
Use the random attack that she can do to beat the crap out of them.
She can do that. Or she can bring food for everybody. What about some of these other stuffed animals? What could they do to help the New Philly team? What does a dog do that's helpful? He could give them love. He could give them kisses. He could give them hugs. All right, Paige, you're looking at who's on the Dover team. What could the Dover team do together? Unicorns could fly, right? He could fly away if the superhero started stuff. Mm-hmm. What could a beagle do? What could a beagle be helpful at? What do beagles have that are really awesome? Ears and what else? What do they have a really strong?
They have a strong nose, right? You know your dog has a strong nose, don't you? And so he could find anything that the Dover people lost. So if these two, if the superheroes fought the villains, who would win? Who do you think would win? What's that, Carter? Why do you think the superheroes would win?
There's more of them.
There's more of them? Okay. But do you think if they both hated each other and they fought with each other, would both sides lose something, you think?
Maybe.
Yeah. Somebody would probably get injured on both sides. But what do you think would happen if the New Philly side and the Dover side decided they wanted to get along and they wanted to work together? Do you think they would be stronger or would they be weaker?
Weaker.
Why would they be stronger? He could destroy the Dover team. But imagine if you could have the flying unicorns and the Pegasus and the Incredible Woman and the Beagle all working together for the same cause. How awesome would that be? And so our lesson today is that Jesus tells us to do the opposite thing when we're mad, which is crazy. What do you guys do when you get mad? You stomp? Who shakes their fist? Does anybody shake their fist? Who scrunches their nose when you're mad? How can you tell? Does anybody do that? So if your parents saw you stomp your feet, scrunch your nose, they would know you'd be pretty mad, right? But Jesus tells us to do the opposite. So if somebody said something that made us sad, what would be the opposite thing that we could do to them?
Be happy.
We could be happy for them. What if somebody yelled at us? What would be the opposite thing we could do for them? Help them. Be nice to them. That's a good one. And if somebody told us they hate us, what could we tell them? We love them. And if we do things like that, we can truly work together and bring people together. And that's practical for y'all, because when you guys are, let me give you a secret. When you're on Walmart at Saturday afternoon and you want that last candy or that last toy, guess what's not the way to get that toy? By being what? By being mean? By being angry? By stomping your feet and throwing a fit? And throwing stuff down like that. Do you think you'll get your toy like that?
Yeah.
No. You got to be nice. And guess what? Your parent may not even give it to you in that moment, but they'll recognize that you listen to them, that you respect them, and that'll make them happy. And they'll be happy together. Because guess what? If you get angry, who else gets angry? Mom and dad get angry, and then nobody's happy, right? And then we lose privileges. I heard some amens out. Can I hear some amens? Yeah. And so that's why it's important, because there's going to be times where you do get angry, but it's important to remember that Jesus calls us to do the opposite of that, to make people happy, because if everybody around us is happy, it's so much easier for us to be happy too, okay? I want you to remember that. So let's get in our circle and pray. We'll even pray around your Christmas tree, Jacob. Tell you what, we'll hold it. Put your hands in. I don't know what I got myself into right now. So everybody touch it, we're going to pray together. Everybody open your hearts and invite God in. Gracious God, we give you thanks for these kids and their ability to be touched by your wonderful things. Help them to remember to be superheroes, to be nice to everybody, because when we are nice and happy, we can do wonderful things and not fight and argue and get angry. And when we love our parents, it makes it easier for them to love us. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. All right, so If you have a toy, bring it back. If you have a stuffed animal, can you please put it back on the ledge for me? Thank you. Go ahead and grab a treat. You want a Tootsie, Brandon? You want the last one? Here you go. Go for it. Whew. All right. You may remain seated as we join together in song. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you inspire us today and ultimately call us to action to serve you and your wonderful kingdom. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So a pastor started his sermon one day, and he started his sermon by asking the congregation one simple question. He said, do you have any enemies in your life? And first he had the people raise their hands, and he asked, do any of you have some enemies? And about half of the congregation raised their hands. And then he asked them, do you have a lot, those of you in the congregation, how many of you have a lot of enemies? And even more people raised their hands. And then he flipped that question around. And then he asked, how about, do any of you have zero enemies? No enemies. No enemies at all. And how many people do you think raised their hands then? There's one woman in the back, 101 years old. And the pastor started to beam because he looked at that woman and he thought, oh, what a wise woman. She is so loving, so caring, that it must be from this wisdom of living 100 years. So he asked this woman, he's like, how do you have zero enemies at 100 years old? And is it because of the wisdom you have? Is it because of the honesty, the love and compassion? And that woman at 101 years old smiled, and without missing a beat, she said, Pastor, I'd love to give you a tip, but all my enemies are 6 feet under right now. They are long gone. That was her secret, not to having enemies, was to outlive them. And I think so many of us can relate to that feeling. I think all of us, in one way or another in our life, have people we may not consider enemies, but they challenge us. They challenge us to remain good people, to be Christians, to respond in nonviolence. And each one of us have people in our life that no matter what we do for them, we will never measure up in their eyes. People we will never be good enough for. People, if we gave them $20, they would ask us, why not $50? And then if we decided to give them $50, they'd be offended we gave them money at all. People who just can't be happy. The author Dita Von Teese said, you can be the ripest, juiciest peach in the world, and there's still going to be somebody who hates peaches. You can be the ripest, juiciest peach in the world, and there's still going to be people who hate peaches. In other words, there's always going to be people who are challenged by us, who aren't always going to see things eye to eye. So the question we have to wrestle with as Christians is, why does Jesus tell us to love the haters then? Why does Jesus tell us to be compassionate to them? Author Nadia Boltz-Weber said, it would seem that when we are sinned against, when someone else does us harm, we are in some way linked to that sin, connected to that mistreatment like a large chain. And our anger, our fear, and resentment doesn't free us at all. It just keeps us chained. What if forgiveness, rather than being a pansy way of saying it's okay, it's actually a way of yielding bolt cutters and snapping the chains that link us? I like that. Forgiveness as bolt cutters, snapping the chains that link us. And I want you to think about that on a real practical way, and think about people who have worked themselves out of difficult family circumstances. Because if you look at the statistics, most abusers don't start as violent and angry people. Most of them start out as children who were also abused, who faced hatred. And because of their inability, for some reason, for whatever reason, to be unable to take the bolt cutters to that situation, they too get linked to that chain. And they make that chain of hatred, of sin, go for generations to generations in their families. But you know that one person in that family who stops that stuff, who says, I'm not going to participate in that hatred and violence. Think about how powerful those bolt cutters are to set your family free and be the one that says, no, we're going to be a compassionate family. We're going to be a loving family. And that chain of violence ends with me. And there are people in our world who do that every day. And what powerful message they send when they choose love over hatred. And there are so many tangible examples. All of you, I think most of you, who here has siblings growing up? Let's see. Where are my only children at? A couple out there. All right. For those of us who grew up with siblings, or maybe those of you who are only child, maybe you remember hanging out with some cousins in your age range, and you remember being in the back of the station wagon or in the back of the minivan, and somebody starting some stuff, and maybe giving you a little push or a little tug. What happens when you are dumb enough to push back? Who gets yelled at? The person who always responds. The person who always responds is usually the one that gets yelled at. And what happens to the person who did it? Nothing, usually. I mean, put this theory to a sporting event. Anytime an athlete pushes somebody down, the referee almost always catches the person who throws the elbow back. And it's part of our culture. So that is why it is so important that we don't retaliate. Because not only does it bring trouble to us, it takes all the pressure and all the wrongdoing away from the person who started the whole issue from the very beginning. Because what do? If someone screams at us, someone is angry with us, just angry and upset with us, and we scream back, what happens to us? We become the very person that we didn't want to be, that very ugly, angry person. Because when we retaliate, we escalate. And when we escalate, we mimic what we swore we would never become. That happens all the time. When people are unable to take those bolt cutters of forgiveness, we become the very thing that we hated in the first place. But we have got to have the strength to use those bolt cutters that Jesus gives us for forgiveness. And I think about some real-life examples that we see in our world. People who continued to work for love and grace and mercy while at the same time found ways to love their enemies. And I think about the great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And one of my favorite stories about him is before the civil rights movement got huge in Alabama, Dr. King and his group of civil rights activists spent a lot of time in a place called Albany, Georgia. That was one of the first places they set up shop and started to fight some of the challenges of racism and discrimination. And Martin was a strong leader. They had people going to jail for the freedom movement. And there's one night, Martin Luther King Jr. had a really rare friendship, actually, with the chief of police in Georgia. His name was Lori Pritchett. And there's one night where Martin Luther King Jr. was planning marches for that night, where they were going to take over the town, and they were going to let people know that hatred was not going to stand. And then a memo came to Martin Luther King Jr., and it said that tonight they were planning all these marches, was Lori Pritchett's wedding anniversary. And Dr. King read that memo, and the second he read that memo, he canceled all the marches that night and said, go home. He called Lori up, go home, have wife with your dinner, enjoy it. We'll be back to work tomorrow. We're going to be challenging you tomorrow. But you take a moment and have it with your family. And I love that example because Martin didn't stop fighting for love, for tolerance, for equality. But at the same time, he showed humanity to those who were challenging him. And think about how much more they were willing to buy into his cause because they saw the humanity of the movement. And we talk about how difficult our political world is today, how Democrats and Republicans can't get along, can't get together, can't be cohesive. And the weird thing is we point it all at the politicians, but maybe they're not always the ones to blame. I think about two of our Supreme Court justices going back. You might know Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is currently serving on the court despite battling some cancers. And there was also Judge Antonin Scalia, who passed away a few years ago. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg was one of the most liberal Supreme Court justices we've ever had, and Antonin Scalia was one of the most conservative Supreme Court justices we had. And on almost every social issue, those two came out on different sides. And that if they were Facebook friends today, they would probably ignore each other, walk away from it. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Antonin Scalia developed a wonderful friendship throughout the years, because they were able to compartmentalize the political and social issues that they struggled with, and realize that at the end of the day, they were two people working to make their country a better place. And think about how much healthier our world would be today if we wouldn't just simply throw the stone at the people we disagree with. And the other part of that message we hear today is that Jesus tells us to do good for goodness sake. Luke 6:35, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, expect nothing in return. And when Jesus said that, he was not exactly the best salesman when he said those words. But the reason he said those words is God doesn't want us to pressure ourselves into thinking our actions has to be what fixed the problem. For kindness to a homeless stranger could get them on the right track. You could be that small moment that helps them get their life together. Or perhaps more likely, you could just alleviate a little suffering as those people continue down difficult and complicated paths. But God will simply be checking to see how compassionate we are in moments like that, because the results are in God's loving hands. So that's what allows us to give without worrying what that dollar or what that ministry is going to, because we know that at the end of the day, ultimately it's up to God to be the one to create the results. And loving our enemy and giving wholeheartedly to those who need compassion shouldn't just be a bumper sticker slogan for Christians. Because there are so many people on this earth who hated Jesus. I mean, hated Jesus, not just who he was, but what he stood for. And they wanted to see him fail. And imagine, just for a moment, had Jesus slipped up, fought back, or selfishly lived for worldly treasure. Where would our world be today? Because Jesus, had he done that, had he slipped up, he would have been just another flawed prophet instead of the everlasting Prince of Peace. Jesus understood people without religion can love their friends and family just as good as religious people can. But the love of Christ should take us to the next step, the next level, where we are able to love those who hate us and persecute us and speak ill of us. So my question for you, brothers and sisters, as you go out into your world this week, are you willing to take that next step up to love your enemies just as much as you love those friends and those who love you? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you help each one of us on the difficult task of loving those who do harm to us, who speak ill of us. Not so much for their sake, but for our sake as well, so that we do not become chained to hatred. But help us to use the bolt cutters of forgiveness, so that we can live a free life where faith, hope, and love reign supreme. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together to sing God Made from One Blood.
Please don't forget to join us for our cake in Town Hall after worship. Let us listen to the closing words of grace that God offers us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.